I wonder if you would not like to talk a little bit more about the ASPEC 3 certificate, just about how it differs from other similar certificates in the world. You made reference, I'm moving very fast. I wonder if you'll be able to catch with them quickly. The Madibeng readiness, Madibeng local municipality, I don't know whether department or you or anybody else is doing something about that cooperative governance, maybe intervention or something, because we cannot as a committee just be happy to hear that one of the municipalities or one of the governance structures somewhere is a disaster, and we don't hear that anybody wants to do anything about it. If you happen to know who is doing what in order to address that situation, because we can't accept a situation where you are not able to do what you should be doing because those that you must be working with are in a disastrous arrangement. We must appreciate the fact that we have 44.5 business in BBBEE. But we believe more can be done. This is a statement, it's not a question. You mentioned on page 22, I think, about marketing, that you engage in marketing campaigns, but can you talk a little bit more on what campaigns they are? We must also appreciate that there is some improvement in your human resources on the side of women inclusion, but we believe that the progress is a bit slow. More can still be done. Well, the subsidiaries, are they the only two subsidiaries that you have, or do you have other subsidiaries elsewhere? The issue of the board of directors, I realize that the photo that is in here is an old photo, when the chairperson was the deputy at the time, and when the current deputy was in another portfolio at the time. Maybe it should just be updated. If you look at the photo that is in here about the board of directors, it refers to the chairperson as deputy chair. And to the current deputy chairperson as Department of International Law, UNISA, blah, blah, senior lecturer, as a member. And there wasn't a chair, I think, in this case. I thought maybe it's an old photo. You once went through an arrangement of this nature at some point. So it just needs to be updated, yeah. Yeah, it's a minor issue. There is, when we spoke to Central Energy Fund and their subsidiaries, there is a company there used to be called Saneri. Saneri was South African National Energy Research Institute, which is now changing into, it is becoming dormant, and a new company takes place in the name of Saneti, which is Development Institute. But it also does research. Their focus is on energy, but I think they have links with trade and industry, with science and technology, and then I think with mineral and energy as well, mineral resources as well. I'm not sure what your relationship with them is, with the Nexa R&D, if you could be able to say whether there is or there isn't any relationship, because I may think you are focused on energy too, but your focus might perhaps be strictly on nuclear and nothing else. It might as well be, I'm not just certain. I'll take this opportunity to give members another opportunity to make questions for clarity before we close the meeting. Honorable Lucas?
I just wanted to go back onto the question about the professionals. I don't think I got a clear answer there, because these people are valuable assets. They've been old, they got a lot of knowledge, and the transfer of that knowledge is so important. So I'm just hoping that we won't lose them in the process.
Thanks, Chair. Just a comment regarding the funding. NNR also indicated that they had problems, the regulator, in terms of funding challenges, which is a concern to me. And I think taking the new build program, that's also going to be very important in the future. I think we need to look at the government grants. If we look at the increased 20%, if that the grant increased by 20% and sales doubled, as you indicated, perhaps I would just like an indication of what percentage should the grant then be. What should the grant then, what can we ask government for? And then because the loss of 58 million, there was an indication that perhaps there would be an offset to sales. How possible is that? We saw the competition from the Canadians and all that. I would just like to know what, in terms of the government grant, what is expected and what should the percentage be and what can we ask for? How can we be helpful?
Honorable Khadebe.
Well, Chair, I think around 2010, I've once mentioned that our questions as members, they're not related to probably spite other racial group. I'm asking this because, you know, the report here in relation to the human resource state that in terms of the increment, you know, the increase in terms of employment, and as from 31 of March 2011, Nexa Group employed 1,020 black employees, as if it's, you know, specifically about black people, because we just want to check the increase of the number, you know, of people that are employed at Nexa, because when it says black people, the next question that I'm going to ask, have they not employed any coloreds, any Indians, or any white people, for that matter, or any Chinese, for that matter? I would want to know that, because when you start saying black, then you are specifying categorically as if this committee wants only black people to be employed. So it's not about that. I said it in 2010, I remember correctly, that our question is to say must balance the racial issues, but also it mustn't as if we want only black people to be employed. So I'm in that thing, it really gives me a little bit of shivering, because if media sees us allowing this thing to be said, not saying anything, they will say the portfolio committee promote that only black people should be employed. And white people will start saying, yeah, us were being neglected and being, you know, isolated in terms of getting employment at Nexa. If I can get a clarity in terms of that.
You are talking to the media already anyway. Honorable Mutau, by virtue of being in E247, you are already talking to the media.
Thank you, Chad. Just a couple of questions. The one has to do with, in response to a question I asked earlier on, the response triggered another question, which is a little worrisome to me, and I'd like the Chief Executive to give us some response to that. In terms of the proposed nuclear build, obviously there are still a lot of hoops to be scaled, but I got the impression that Nexa seems to be sort of on the sidelines there, and I would have thought a lot of expertise in nuclear resides at Nexa, and so they should be involved in some of these things that are happening. To what extent is Nexa getting involved in this kind of thing? And the other one is really an update question regarding the cases of radio contamination in Atteridgeville, where there was a case of people. How far has that gone? Is there anything? Has it been resolved? And just an update on that. Thanks.
Next.
Chairman, your questions about the radioisotope market. I think it's a complicated market because you're dealing with a market which has traditionally had quite strong state involvement through the provision of reactor facilities and so on. The costs of those reactors have not always been factored into the price of the isotopes. You've also now got a transition of technologies from weapons-grade uranium to low-enriched uranium. And we've led the market in the transition to low-enriched uranium. The American Department of Energy is being very helpful because America is the main market for these radioisotopes. About 50% of the global market is America. In putting in place what they would see as barriers to highly enriched uranium-based imports coming into the United States, they need legislation for that. And I don't know how long, you know, it'll be a year or two before that comes in. Obviously, we can't collude with our competitors because that would put us in terms of flouting global competition law, WTO, etc. But what we have done is feed very strongly into an OECD-based process for looking at how the industry should develop. And we've spent a lot of time in influencing the whole industry, including our competitors, as to what the principle should be. And as a result, there is, during this year, we didn't mention it in the presentation, there's been an OECD report on the radioisotopes industry which has come out, which essentially supports full cost recovery and profitability, as opposed to government subsidized reactors and so on. And the argument that we've used really is that, I mean, the Canadian public, are they really prepared to take care of radioactive waste for their tax dollars to be used in dealing with radioactive waste to subsidize foreign pharmaceutical industries? No, of course not. So this thing has to be, for it to be sustainable, has to pay for itself. And so, you know, without getting involved in colluding with our competitors, which we don't do around individual shipment pricings, etc., we've been very influential in having the industry adopt a bunch of principles around its future sustainability, because the reason that there was the supply crisis was precisely this. I mean, you couldn't go to a bank and say, I want to build a new reactor because I want to make isotopes, because the price wasn't high enough. Now that's changed to a large extent, and so we need to keep that as it is, otherwise the whole industry will slump again. So that's what we've been doing. The ASME3, which is the other question you asked, there are other code systems, and one can convert between the different codes. But what makes ASME stand out is that you get a certificate. You can be licensed in terms of other codes, for example, RCCM is the French one. But they don't give you a certificate in order to work independently, work with the vendor, and they then accredit you in terms of those codes. You don't get a certificate which you can then go out and use to bid independently. And so that's why we went for ASME. What it means is that you can go and say that you can manufacture according to nuclear standards. You can go to any company, to Korea, to Rolls-Royce in the UK, to Westinghouse, and say, please consider us as a supplier of this particular class of valves for your plants because we've got the certification. If you don't have that, you always, you either can't get the work, or you have to be accredited by the vendor, who will then obviously want something else from you. And so it gives you that independence in order to be a player in your own right. Of course it comes at a price. You can't manufacture according to ASME on a Monday and then go back to some other way of doing it on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and back to ASME on a Thursday. You've got to just do the thing. And so it's added to our manufacturing costs, because you're just putting a whole lot more emphasis on detail and care and quality. And so obviously the lower tech jobs, for example, if you were to say manufacture, I'm exaggerating here, but let's say mudguards for tractors using ASME, all you do is make expensive tractors because you're essentially using too high-tech a specification for what's essentially a low-tech product. And so those jobs then are not available to you anymore. And so the kind of odds and sods that you'd apply yourself to earn a crust of bread in the meantime, those aren't available. And so what it says is that you've got to go for the big thing or go home. And that was a risk that we took. The innovation disclosures, I mean, I can read a couple of them here. I mean, it is removing uranium from various decontamination valves, a new extraction method for that. Encapsulating radioactive waste in ceramics for storage. Agents for decontaminating graphite. Notice the waste research angle here. Contamination-free transfer of contaminated material between hot cells. How to not to contaminate anything when you transfer material from one hot cell to another. And it is. I mean, I can send you an email with the full list if you like. The issue of money, Beng. I think that this is precisely the kind of area where a committee like this could be helpful. Because you operate in a political domain that we don't. And you have colleagues in Northwest, you're connected to structures there no matter what party you're in, and there's a strategy that we could employ jointly to address some of these issues of capacity in municipalities. And so that could be something that we could almost have a separate meeting on, maybe not formally in like this, but the portfolio committee or other structures in the province could be useful, and the contacts that you as politicians have and we don't have could help us gain trust and convey the importance of this type of work. We can of course say that, but we're saying it as professionals. You say it and it comes, it's taken with a different weight. But I think even despite that, I think we're making some progress. We have seconded people from Moneybank to Nexa and vice versa, and so we are embedding the systems in them. I think previously they just saw it as some distant thing which didn't relate to their lives. And now once they're involved in the emergency exercises, they begin to see the point of it. Marketing. Chantal, I'm going to ask you to describe the Saatchi marketing.
In February this year, Nexa committed funds towards a nuclear awareness advertising campaign. This incorporates a print campaign, which is in the Daily Sun and a few other newspapers that address specific target audiences that we are trying to reach. We also have a radio campaign that runs on Kaya FM, Motsweding, and a few others as well. Again, we're targeting certain target audiences in terms of nuclear awareness. We have web campaigns, email campaigns, we have campaigns with schools where they visit on a daily basis, and we have different lectures targeted at different age groups in terms of the children or university students, and we have media campaigns that also support this. In addition to that, we have billboards. If you drive around the area within Pelindaba, Nexa, Bruderstrom, Schumansel, you will see we have huge advertising boards which direct the public to the Nexa Visitor Center, where obviously the aim of the center is to create an awareness around nuclear and demystify all the myths that are out there.
Thank you. Question on subsidiaries. There are three principal subsidiaries, in other words, direct subsidiaries of Nexa. That's Pelchem, NTP, and Arexa. Arexa being the HRD subsidiary, which is a joint venture with the French. However, under NTP, there are a range of subsidiaries too. So in other words, they're sub-subsidiaries of Nexa. And there's, for example, NTP Logistics, which deals with the transport of hazardous waste and other substances. Then there's Gammatech, which is a subsidiary which conducts non-destructive gamma ray-based testing, etc. So there's Pharmatopes, which is an AC Amersham, which is a distribution agency for radiochemicals in South Africa. So, you know, NTP has a group in its own right. Pelchem used to have more subsidiaries, but we've absorbed them back into the mother company because it became too complex for the size of operation. Not as big as CEF, for CEF's got lots and lots of subsidiaries, but it's not quite like that. Saneri, we've had some discussions with them. It's true to say that we do mainly nuclear and they don't. So there's not a big discussion that happened. I mean, I remember one discussion we had, which was around a project which looked at burning bio-waste to generate energy. And we pursued that project in another way, that we were originally wanting them as a partner, but it didn't quite work out. But we haven't, we don't spend much time in joint discussions. And we meet them at probably twice a year when all of the main research councils get together to discuss common interests, but they're there normally, but we don't, as a rule, collaborate with them. The issue of employment equity, Mr. Member Hadebe, I think what I would like to say about that is that we have an EE plan, which we comply with and in which we submit to the Department of Labor every year. And so, you know, we have targets which relate to different demographic levels at different strata within the organization. It's quite a complex document because, you know, you look at top management, middle management, all levels of the organization, and you look at women, you look at blacks, coloreds, Indians, whites, etc., and we try to meet those targets. So that's what we do. You know, I don't think there's a situation where, if you look at the staff that we've employed over the last couple of years, I don't think that whites would feel left out. I think we've employed a fair number of whites, but it may come across in the presentation that we're emphasizing certain things. But it's quite the EE document's quite complex. I don't know, Mr. Batsi, whether you want to add anything to that.
Nexa, like any other organization, we deliver human resources within the context of South African Labour Relations and Labour Acts. And unfortunately, the annual reports, what you also have to show is that you're complying with those acts. And what it requires is that we have to show and analyze our progress in terms of transformation. The nuclear industry itself is always criticized for transforming slowly in terms of the skills. And the challenge is that nuclear is a political decision. When the political decision says we stop here, the skills freeze. And then when they restart, we have to develop new skills. So in terms of that, the transformation might look slow, but if you look progressively through the years, there is an improvement. So I understand your question, but unfortunately, because of the labor legislation, we need to report it this way. But that does not mean we preclude white people from being employed within the organization.
And I didn't, Honorable Lucas, I didn't hear your question properly.
The concern is that with the reduction of the grant, that you have to cut somewhere. And I'm hoping that you're not going to be cutting on the professional people, because that will lose the knowledge that has been gained all these years. And that's what's my concern. And I think there should be some form of transferring this knowledge instead of getting rid of it.
Thanks, Chair. We're involved in the shape and size exercise. And we're benchmarking against other organizations around the world in terms of how many engineers and researchers they have as against HR people and finance people and security staff, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, all circumstances are different in different countries, but we hope to finalize that by the end of the financial year. But a lot of care is being taken to do not to do what you're fearing will happen. Honorable Member Mudau, your question on is NEXT adequately consulted? Of course, it's a human trait to think you're never consulted enough. But having said that, I think that there's the issue of security of information around a process which is worth a lot of money. Obviously, those perfecting that process do not want to cast the net that wide because it potentially opens itself up. We've been partly consulted, but I think this has been worked quite closely within government at the moment. I don't know if I've missed anything. Oh, yes, sorry. You know, this is something which keeps on coming back, and I guess one has to learn something from that. In South Africa, if you are injured at work or made sick at work or something happens to you at work, you have access to the various mechanisms of workplace compensation. You go and you apply to the compensation commissioner for redress. And every company pays, it's like the road accident fund. You know, part of your litre of petrol goes into funding the road accident fund. Similarly, every company pays into the coffers of the work of the Compensation Commission. And in terms of the COIDA Act, Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act, if somebody complains at work that they were made sick or injured at work, that's recorded, and an automatic submission in terms of COIDA is made to the Compensation Commissioner. The decision to compensate or not is then outside the hands of the company. It's something which is adjudicated independently, and it's paid independently by the workman's by the Compensation Commissioner. Up until today, I'm not aware, and I think Chantal, this is right, that I'm not aware of any claim that's been supported by the Compensation Commissioner. So, you know, that's the way the law works in South Africa. And you know, all of us at work are kept at least moderately safe and sound by having that law in place. Of course, if you then want to sue through some other civil mechanism, a company, well, that's your right. But in general, if the claim has already been made to the Compensation Commissioner, that claim won't be upheld. It's my view, and again, it's not an official NEXA position, that in many cases these are poor people who are being used by different interest groups to create a some legal structure says that we should pay, then of course we will. But this is not really not the way that the law works in South Africa. There's a compensation commissioner, and that compensation commissioner deals with the claims of people who get sick or injured in the workplace.
Are all members, honourable members, happy that responses have come? I want to take this opportunity to thank you all members for having taken this time to come and hear the presentation as it comes from NEXA. But I also want to thank NEXA for the nice, eloquent presentation which separates issues according to how they are. The processes are going to be that the committee will scrutinize the report and decide on the report. You should be on standby in case committee wants to call you for any other omission or correction or misrepresentation of facts. At any one time, the committee may call you before adopting the report to say we would like to know this or that. Until then, I would wish to call to adjourn this proceedings.
Thank you
very much. So just for the members, quickly, there will be a joint PC meeting tomorrow with Science and Technology, that which we will be having. And then there are these events that are taking place today. What are they? The secretary will also inform us of some activities that will be taking place today and tomorrow.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I've inquired with some of the members already, and most of the members have confirmed. And this is final from Mr. Khadebe. I'll speak to Mr. Khadebe now. With regard to the EGI, is a energy governance initiative, sir. But I'll speak to you after the meeting.
Thank you, and this meeting is adjourned.